Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, as we begin our study in Luke's writings this morning. I'll give you a literal translation of verses 1 through 4. Since now indeed many have taken in hand to arrange a narration concerning the things or matters or issues which have been fulfilled amongst us. The King James text reads the things that have been believed amongst us, but it's literally the word to fill up or fulfill. According as the ones who have become from the beginning eyewitnesses and servants of the word gave them or delivered them to us. It seemed good also to me, after having investigated all things accurately from the beginning. Anothen is an adverb that has to do with source. From its source. To write in order or in succession to you, most excellent Theophilus, in order that you might completely know the certainty concerning which words you were verbally instructed. That is about as an exact a translation as you can get with Luke's in-depth, in-detail writing. First of all, by way of introduction, I want to mention three things to you, and I'm going to use the title of the book as our introduction, Evangelion to kata Lukan, the Gospel according to Luke. The word gospel means good news. There are four books in the New Testament called with this title, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're put in the front because they're a collection of books, but not all of them were written at the same time. Three of the four are called Synoptic Gospels, S-Y-N-O-P-T-I-C, Synoptic, S-Y-N-O-P-T-I-C. Synoptic Gospels. It's a compound word that means to view together. So those people who canonized the New Testament, they put the first three Gospels together so that you could get the various views of the ministry of Jesus Christ, because each Gospel writer wrote to a specific group of people and shared certain views or certain things about the ministry of Jesus Christ to minister to that particular group of people. The Synoptic Gospels were written around 60 to 63 AD. Matthew wrote his Gospel to the Jews. So his presentation is going to be presenting Jesus as the promised coming Messiah, with all of the fulfillment of prophecies and the ministry of Jesus Christ as the promised coming Messiah. Mark's Gospel was written to the Romans. His book is very short, very concise, because he was ministering to the Roman mind, and the Romans think along the lines of the judicial system. So their attitude was, just give me the facts. So Mark's Gospel is very choppy, very short. He doesn't go into detail with a lot of things because he just presents the facts to the Roman mind. Luke wrote his Gospel to the Gentiles. More particular, verse 3 says the man's name was Theophilus. We'll get to him in a moment. John's Gospel was written around 95 A.D., some 30-some years later. It was the next to the last book written in chronological time in the New Testament. Revelation was the last book. The Gospel of John was the next to the last book. And the Christians in Ephesus asked John to write a gospel about the deity of Jesus Christ, because that's the main issue. That's what separates the cults from the Christians. Those who are born again and those who claim to be the religious Christians is the deity of Jesus Christ. He is all God and he is all man, period. John's writings present that. And Lord willing, if we're still going on here, after we get through with the writings of Luke and Acts, we want to take John's writings. John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and Revelation. The deity of Jesus Christ. That's the primary issue that separates the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the tares, is the deity of Jesus Christ. But we have the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that are called synoptic gospels. Now, of those three, Mark is thought of to be written first. Mark was the first gospel. It is shorter. Matthew's gospel was thought of to be written second. And then, of course, Luke's gospel. It is believed that Luke had many writings, including Matthew and Mark with him, when he wrote his account. As a historian, as a very educated man, he went to great depths to collect everything ever written about the Lord from the various churches, from individual Christians. They would do like what many of you are doing this morning. As the apostles and disciples went from church to church and city to city, people would write down what they said. There was no New Testament. So there was a collection of writings at every church. There was Paul's letters to certain churches. And as the various original apostles and disciples began to do their writings, Luke wanted to collect those too. Those were the main source. Or the disciples and main apostles. And then to actually get the writings from the people that actually listened to them come and teach in their churches. To get those writings too. Because this man did a detailed investigation of everything about the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Like I said, Luke's gospel was written to the Gentiles. It was written to Theophilus. See verse 3. He's called most excellent Theophilus. According to tradition, this would be with writings outside of the Bible, that Theophilus, because he carries the title of most excellent, he was either an officer in the military, Roman military, or he was an officer in the Roman government. He held the name of Mighty One, Most Excellent Theophilus. Tradition also tells us that he was in Antioch of Syria. Antioch of Syria. And it is interesting that Luke's gospel is written to him specifically, but in general to all Gentiles, because he being a Roman was a Gentile. That is, Theophilus was. Secondly, first of all, it was the gospel. Secondly, we want to talk about Luke. It is the gospel according to Luke. According to Paul in Colossians 4:14, Luke is called the beloved physician. He was a doctor. In fact, one of the words, if you notice verse 2 in your Bibles, the word for eyewitnesses is the Greek word autoptai, which is the word for autopsy. So these are people who dissected, if you would, the ministry of Christ. And servants also is a very interesting word, because it means under rower. You know, those in the big ships were down below deck, the men that would row the ships, the under rowers, the subservants. There were the servants that served on the deck of the ship. Then there were the slaves, the subservants, the under-rowers, who would be rowing the ships from underneath at the bottom level of the deck. So he's very graphic. It's this very beautiful language. It's just too bad we can't just get into Greek in general to paint the picture, but we can mention a few things to you as we go through. Now, Colossians 4:14, Paul calls Luke the beloved physician. Interesting, tradition tells us that he originated and was the physician or doctor of Antioch of Syria. Uh-huh. That's also where Theophilus was stationed. So apparently these two people knew each other, and Luke was now writing a very exact, detailed account of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ back to his friend, who is an officer in the government or in the military. Also, I want to point out to you, we've already read in Luke chapter 1, but also turn with me now, hold your place and turn with me to the book of Acts. Luke, John, and Acts. Thank you. The book of Acts starts out, "The first account I made concerning all things, O Theophilus," same person. The first account, he's making reference to the gospel that we know of as the Gospel of Luke. "So the first account I made concerning all things, O Theophilus, of which things Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he commanded his disciples." And then he goes into those, that last day before he ascended up. What he's doing here in the first 11 verses of Acts chapter 1 is he is summarizing Luke chapter 24. He's bringing it over. Originally, the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts circulated together as Luke volumes 1 and 2. Luke volumes 1 and 2. Only when they canonized the scriptures did they separate them, so that they were no longer traveling together. They wanted to keep all the Gospels in one section, and then the book of Acts, of course, is the continuing history of the early church up to the teaching section of the New Testament, which is the book of Romans. So Luke and Acts, you have the events prior to the birth of Jesus Christ in detail, all the way through to the death of Paul in Acts chapter 28. From a very educated man that uses very detailed, in-depth language and presentation to us. So we have quite a treat with Luke's writings before us. Luke's writings take up one quarter of the New Testament. So it's a very very important portion for us to learn. As I said earlier, 312 words of Greek words are in Luke that are not found in the rest of the New Testament. And 478 words are found in the book of Acts that are not found in the New Testament. So he has a vocabulary and a presentation all his own. As I said, he's a very educated man. Third thing, by way of introduction, introduce the theme to you. The theme of the Gospel of Luke is Luke 19:10, which says that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. God sent his Son to seek us, not for us to seek him, but to seek us and to save us. And I think it's a beautiful picture and portrayal of God's attitude towards you and I, especially when Satan beats us over the head with self-condemnation and guilt. It's the fact that we don't seek God. In fact, Romans chapter 3 says that nobody seeks for the things of God. Nobody understands the things of God. In our natural state. In our natural state, I am not interested. God came to seek me. He came to interrupt my life. He came to inconvenience my life. That's what he did. That's what he did for me. Because in the natural, my human nature wants to go one way. I have interests, I have things that I want to do, places I want to go. But God says, I'm coming to seek you and to save you. He will leave the 99 and go look for the one that's lost. He is the one that came seeking for us, and we think that we're seeking for the Lord. No. He is coming and seeking for us. Four things in the first four verses of the Gospel of Luke. First of all, in verse 1, he makes mention to the previous writings. He says, many have taken in hand to arrange a narration concerning the issues or matters, the pragma, that have been fulfilled amongst us. As the disciples and apostles would travel, people would write down what they heard. Individual churches wanted written documents of what these people said so that when they left town, they could take those documents and study them, much like we do today. We study the letters of the people who have been with Jesus. So they too, only they had him live. But when they left, the only thing they had was their writings from the notes that they took, or maybe the letters that were sent directly to them from one of the disciples or one of the apostles. So Luke says, since now many have taken in hand to write a narration concerning those things that are fulfilled amongst us. So the provision, previous writings he makes reference to in verse 1. The provision of those writings is in verse 2. According as the ones who have become from the beginning eyewitnesses and servants of the word delivered them to us. Their source, their provision for their writings, those who wrote in verse 1, were the ones who were eyewitnesses. Not just people who physically saw and physically heard the ministry of Jesus Christ, but performed an autopsy. They spent hours with the Lord. I don't want to hear from somebody who just was in the crowd and saying, well, I heard the Lord's message yesterday. I mean, if I hadn't heard it, of course I want to hear the message. Did anybody spend time with him afterwards? Did anybody ask him questions? Did anybody travel with him? What did he mean by that? See? Those people have done an autopsy on the things of the Lord. Dissected them. They were under rowers. In essence, as far as the Lord's ministry is concerned, they were the ones who rowed the boat. If you can get that picture. They were not the ones sitting on deck enjoying the view. They were underneath, supporting and providing for the Lord's ministry while they were with him and hearing the things that he had to say. Thirdly, verse 3, the physician's education comes into play. Because he says, first of all, since many have written about the fulfillment of the ministry of Christ that came from the provision of those who are eyewitnesses and servants of the word, God has called upon this man with his physician's education, as he says in verse 3, after having investigated all things accurately from the beginning. The word beginning, einothen, is an adverb that means its source. So after he made a collection of all these writings from all these churches, can you imagine how much time it would take and the effort that Luke would go through is to contact all the various fellowships that have heard from the original apostles and disciples and call for them to send copies of their writings, both of their writings and actually get Mark's gospel, get Matthew's gospel, get everything written about the things of Christ. Not by the editors of the newspaper, not from the Reader's Digest. He didn't want anybody's opinions. He wanted the sources. He went right back to the beginning, Anathen, to the source of things. So he investigated, just like a physician would perform an autopsy. He dissected the things of Christ. He threw out the writings that were just like, well, this guy's way off, you know. And he threw them out. And yet he went on to say at the end of verse 3 that he is writing to them in order. That is, in succession. He is writing an orderly account of all the events that happened in chronological order, one right after the other. Verse 4 is the purpose for Luke's writing. His purpose was in order that you, meaning Theophilus, in order that you might completely know the certainty, notice the exactness, the certainty concerning which things, the English word says things, but it's logos, it's the genitive plural, logo, concerning the words in which you were verbally instructed. The English translations use the word teach, but here's a very special word for verbally instructed. It means to echo in the ears. It's verbal instruction. So Theophilus was hearing things about the Lord. He might have seen things written pass in front of him. But he had no certainty. How do I know this is right? The Lord raised up a very educated man to do a very detailed investigation of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. And even himself, he himself was part of the Lord's ministry. I don't know if you knew that or not. From Luke chapter 1 verse 1 up to Acts chapter 16 verse 9, Luke always makes reference to the Lord and to the disciples as they, third person plural. Especially when you start with the book of Acts, when he talks about they. Paul traveled. Barnabas traveled. They went to different places. They did things. This is what happens when they were there. In Acts chapter 16, verse 10, he starts with the first person plural, we. So at the Macedonian call, and many believe that Luke was the person that Paul saw in that vision with the Macedonian call, when the man said in the vision, come over here and minister to us. That's not a certainty. But it is interesting that after the Macedonian call, that Paul got a vision of a man saying, come over and minister Christ to us, that Luke all of a sudden becomes part of the entourage. He becomes Paul's personal physician. And yet at the same time, at the end of Paul's life, as he's writing to various churches, this very educated man is right there with him, traveling with him from place to place. Even as he's locked up in some of the prison situations, Luke was allowed to come and visit him during the week or during the day, or even be with him when he was under house arrest. He had a few brothers with him, not a whole lot wanted to be with him because it was a lot of trouble. To be with Paul, it was a great hardship, and there weren't very many Christians that want to stick around with somebody that's been attacked like Paul was. Luke did. So, this is a tremendous book. Next week, we're going to begin with verse 5 and begin our study as Luke goes back further back than any other of the gospel writers and begins to give us the details leading up to the conception and birth of John the Baptizer. That's what he's called. It's not John the Baptist. It's not a denomination. Literally in the Greek it reads John the Baptizer. It describes what he does. It's never translated Baptist in the original language. The conception and birth of John the Baptizer and the conception and birth of Jesus Christ, which was 6 months later. And Mary and Elizabeth were relatives. John the Baptizer was a cousin to Jesus. And it's very interesting. The events that God did prior to their birth. That's a fascinating study. And as I say, Greek is just very exact. And we're going to be providing this literature for you so that you can take notes here, take it home, take the tape home, take more notes, and have the most detailed account of the ministry and life and teaching of Jesus Christ that we have on record. That would be a tremendous thing. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, that as we have spent time together this morning, we're so thankful that you are the very servants that you have raised up. That you raised up this servant, Luke. And all of those who took down the notes and wrote about the life and ministry of Christ. We thank you for the apostles and disciples that you raised up who were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. And again, that Luke was raised up, that you gave this man such a passion, such a desire to have a historical account that was in-depth and accurate and orderly of the life and ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we might study together and receive that ministry that you have for us as we get to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask you for your blessing and ministry upon us on this time this morning, and your blessing upon us as we go through this book and Luke's writings as you have intended for them to be. We pray in Jesus' name.